we're growing at every level, you know, and when different things come up, it's an opportunity to believe God. It was about our perspective. It's like, how do we look at things? You know, we can look at it from a negative light, a frustrated light, or we can look at it as a point to believe God. Every opportunity is to believe God. Like, grace is that God is doing the work for us. He's arranging everything for us. And it's not that we got to earn it or work for it, but we go to God and be led by him, do the things that he puts in our hearts to do and to keep at peace. You know, I was just looking last week, I was looking at that Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope, the God of expectation, fill you with all joy. And that's, you know, exceeding joy and peace. You know, that peace that passeth understanding in believing. It's not in worrying, fearing, or doubting, or second guessing, or doubt, you know, looking to the left, looking to the right. But now the God of expectation fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope. So God wants us to abound in great expectation through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not through our efforts or our minds, but it's by that wonderful grace of God, that wonderful Spirit of God, you know, being energized by him through the speaking in tongues, through the focus, through the trust, through the fellowship with him and with one another, and just staying in our place, staying in the lane that God has put us in, so that we can really flourish and grow and be focused. And like I was sharing with Frank yesterday about a football team, you know, that you've got the premier football team and the stars play on the pitch, you know, and you've got the substitutes. But if those stars are playing good, those substitutes stay on the bench. You know, we want to be playing. We want to be scoring goals. We want to be playing in position. You know, a right wing won't be playing on the left wing. A defense player won't be playing at the front. You know, so when each person knows their place where God has placed them and move within that jurisdiction that God's working with them, even though we're all free, then we can really play as not only individuals, play our game with God, you know, play the perfect game, be on point. But then we're also affecting those around us when we're in place with God and what he's shown us to do. And then we can pass that ball to the next one and to the next one if they stay in their place. But if someone is offside from where they should be playing, then like that's when the other team can take advantage. So, you know, God is a God of hope. He's a God of expectation. He wants us to go to him. He wants us to expect big from him. He wants us to ask him now unto God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you ask or think. So what are we thinking? You know, our thought life should be very good. It should be positive thinking. Even though things may come in to try and affect that, we cast it down. You know, we cast down every imagination, every reasoning, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What does God say? How did Christ move? How did the believers move? How would God expect us to move? So God is working in all of our circumstances. Lots of people have different challenges right now. I know because I speak to a lot of people, right? But again, it's bringing back to people to believe him rightly, to look to God, to stay at peace, and to how we view God. Is God allowing me to go through this? You know, is God causing these things for me to grow or something like that? No, God is a good God. He wants us to have joy and peace and believe in every day, in every situation. And it's down to our level of focus, down to our level of what we desire, what we put first in our life, what we deem to be more important or less important. Obviously, there's things that all of us have to do in a day, especially if you go to work, like Van, you got your job, Bambi's got a job, other people got jobs. You do those things that are assigned to you for your life. And then, but also we can keep God first in those things. We involve God, you know, so like we're fellow laborers together with God in the work of the harvest of speaking forth, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God's also a fellow laborer together with us in the things that he's given us to do, the things that he's arranged for our lives. And he wants us to be successful at every level. God wants us to have good success so it's happy, so that we're happy and all things are well with us. and that we can really shine and show people the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads others to repent. It's so easy to get stuck in a rut for many years of thinking, well, I've taken this class, I know this believer, I know this wonderful leader or that wonderful leader, I've been around these certain people, and we can deceive our own self. You know, we should be wanting to be fruitful ourselves personally. Personally, we should be wanting to see the things happen, not just in our personal life, but in the ministry that God has given to each one of us, because we all have the word and ministry of reconciliation, right? So we got this ministry to reconcile people back to God through the preaching of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, letting people know what God has made available today through the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life, whom God raised from the dead and seated him and us at his right hand side. You know, through signs, miracles and wonders, people seeing the power of God at to work. You know, someone mentioned something about the scriptures, and I'm thinking, yeah, like Jesus said, you do error not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Lots of people know the scriptures, they don't know the power. But the great thing is we can still be led by the Spirit of God and demonstrate his power and still not maybe not know so much of the scriptures, because God can bring out in us what the scriptures say. We can be living it, like we see in Nepal and in India. You know, 5-year-old kids, 7-year-old kids, running fellowships of thousands of people, adults, preaching boldly by the Spirit of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing them, special miracles going on. You know, and so through this, great joy is generated through the operation of God, through the believers that are listening. And then people are coming from darkness to light. People are hearing from afar and coming and traveling because they know there's something outside of them that they've never seen before. So we're bringing the kingdom of God here upon earth through our witness, through our lives, through our trust in God, through our devotion. And really, like I said, this fellowship is for people that really want to move. You know, laborer types. What is a laborer? A laborer is someone that desires to have that relationship with God. A laborer is not only someone that wants to have a relationship with God, but they want to move and do the works of God. They want to do the same works that Jesus Christ done and move into those greater works, which God can lead them into doing. And so you can do and be, like Kim used to say this to our youth fellowship, we used to have 50 kids, sometimes more. You can be and do anything you want to be with God. What do you want to do? And it reminds me, like, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, God has given us this wonderful vision of word over the world, of his word moving throughout the world. And I can remember old people, old paradigms, as we call them, you know, from the old times, you know, really wanted to see that. And then when it's placed in front of them, they kind of knock it and, oh, it's not like that because we don't go to the scriptures and the scripture says this. You know, well, they know we're not a flourish, but where's their power and where's their fruit? Because really, when we're moving by the Spirit of God, and it will be in line with the scriptures anyway, without us even having to work it, because God is energizing it, then there will be these signs, miracles and wonders, healing, people being delivered, God arranging different setups for people to bump into people, like Frank with that lady who had a visitation, or she's seen, you know, in the Spirit, Jesus Christ. And then Frank was able to interpret her dream for her, just like Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. God is an extraordinary God. He's supernatural. And that Spirit of God is supernatural within us. And so he wants us to move in this way. We can really have that. Like the angel just appeared to Philip. Go stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. Because the angel didn't say, go stand and rightly divide the word and teach a class to the people, all what I show you, right? No, it's go stand and speak. Go and declare. Go and tell people this good news of the power of God. And these guys were first-hand witnesses of what Jesus Christ went through and his suffering and God raising him from the dead and then them being filled with the Holy Spirit. These guys were on fire and they had challenges. You know, they had challenges. They had people come against them, the religious leaders, the ones that rise up and start speaking against them and want to kill them. You know, and Paul was amongst them at that time, wasn't he? You know, as his name was known then, his name was Saul, or he was known as Saul and also Paul. And then, obviously, then Jesus Christ had to confront him because he was persecuting the church, putting men and women into prison. And these guys are being killed. They weren't just put into prison for 30, 40 years. They've been killed, you know? And, but God, by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him in a vision, you know, in this light. He's seen this light and heard this voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that's what a lot of people are doing now, kicking against the pricks with their knowledge. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, you know, but he didn't know the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God then until he got born again. And then the faithful leaders at that time, you know, encouraged him, and then he was strengthened, and then he started to move by the Spirit of God. He wasn't with anyone. You know, 3 years on his own, he went to the Arabian desert. You know, and he was taught and he was encouraged by God. And then he come back, and then he went, I think it was many years before he met the disciples. And he first met Peter, then the others, James and all that stuff. But he was with God, and God was strengthening him, just like God led Jesus up into the wilderness and led him by the Spirit into the wilderness. And Jesus was strengthened through those situations before him. So we are very powerful people. We've got to see ourselves in that, in this light. We've got to see ourselves in the light of who God says we are. We are beloved. We are accepted. You know, and when sin abounds, the grace of God abounds much more. You know, God's not looking at that. He's looking at what you want to do now. All right, you messed up. Keep moving forward. If you fall down once, I'll pick you up. If you fall down 100 times, I'll pick you up. Keep, where's your desire for me? Who's going to go for me? Who's going to speak my word? And so if we want to see great growth, we need to desire God for laborers and open doors to speak his word boldly as we ought to speak. Paul said to the church, you know, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly and speak as I ought to speak. We should ought to be speaking this way. It all depends where we're gearing our life up. Are we just cushioning in through life, quite content with our little routines, not really seeing much happen? We might have a little breakthrough here and share the word with someone, but nothing really comes off it. God wants us to be fruitful, and he's the one that will make us fruitful. But we got to be serious about this. We got to be dedicated. Like, what did Paul say? He said, I've ditched myself to the ministry of the saints. You know, he was sold out to God. I'm sold out to God. I'm not perfect in what I'm doing. I know that because no one is, right? But God is working in me. And I'm learning, you know, and I'm growing. And I'm humble to receive these truths. I'm willing to do. I receive the words gladly. I'm not questioning it, because God will show me through when I go and do it, if it's from him or not. And I've got the Spirit of God to discern as well. So I receive the words gladly. In other words, I receive it. And if it's a practical thing I can do, I go and do it straight away. No hesitation. I haven't got no fear of man anymore. I haven't got no fear of any other leader anymore. You're not doing it right. You said it wrong. You was inaccurate. That don't wash with me anymore. Because now I'm moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm confident in who I am. And I know to keep humble before God. And I know that he'll always lift me up if I stay humble. Even if I make a mistake, even if I am going in the wrong direction, he will perfect that concern in me. So I don't worry about it. Okay, God, I'm going to move in this direction. And every time I've done that, it's proven fruitful. Other people are now coming up through that stand that God worked in me to stand. He's the one that energizes that commitment in us. He's the one that's energizing everything. Nothing is from me. I'm just responding to what he's working within me. Are you responding to what God's working in you, or are you resisting the Holy Spirit within you? Through your knowledge, or through what other people have said, or you think, well, I can't say this because I've always believed this and I've always said this, but now God's shown me a truth on this and he's enlightened my eyes. Well, how am I going to say that? You know, we got to be bold. And that's what God's looking for, fearless men and women, because he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. No, I totally admire Sangay Baines. Yeah, he's my minister, so I'm going to admire him. I would be connected to him otherwise. But it's more than that. This man has taken his knocks from other people, other ministries, because he spoke the truth and it didn't go and fit him with other people's understanding. they couldn't understand it. They just couldn't see it, or they were so blindsided and committed to what they knew that they're bound by that until they become humble. And I was one of them to a certain degree. But I always wanted it. I've always wanted to be bold for God. I said, God, I'll speak anywhere. I'll do anything, even before I knew what I know now. That's always been my heart, to help other people, because I know I've been helped. I know the love of God. I know the compassion of God. I know what he's forgiven me of. I know what he's released me from. You know, and, you know, before I didn't think God could ever release me or deliver me in the way he has through the years. But every stage he has. Because he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for me. He's got a plan and he's got a purpose for you. And God doesn't want you to limit his plan and purpose in your life because you're hung up on doctrine or you're hung up on what somebody else is saying. And so I'm so thankful that God has taken that fear of man away from me. And the fear of man was other believers, believe it or not. Am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Needed to get a second opinion. I've got the one opinion from my God, and the fruit always indicates that. And the witness of the Holy Spirit within me. Now, we got this Holy Spirit of God. It's the navigating system of God for us. And we got the scriptures also. And thank God I did take some of those classes. Well, a lot of those classes. Nearly all of them, by the way. Thank God I've listened to them a million times. Because I got some understanding by the grace of God. Being someone that was illiterate. Someone that couldn't read or write when he was 15, 16. Someone could even write the words. Or even read them, understand them. So thank God I had some of those things. I got some education, which was good. And that knowledge was good, some of it. There's a lot of stuff that was very good. But now God is, by the Spirit, just bringing it all out. And now I'm dependent upon him to lead me and guide me. God wants us all to be bold in this manner. And if we focus in this manner, then you'll start to see your life change very quickly. You start to see everything come up, smelling of roses, as I always say. We got to take a stand and not worry about other people's opinion, even if it's the wife. Even if it's the husband, even if it's your children or your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, or your brother or your sister or your auntie or your aunt, or some wonderful believer that you put on a pedestal. You've got to be bold. If you're going to move like the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got to be free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and there's freedom. But we do this all with the movement of God, all with the energizing of God, all with the love of God, all with the compassion of God, all to edify. Our word should edify. And listen, I hope you get challenged with some of the things I say. If you're getting challenged, if you are, I'm not saying you are, but if you are, then maybe you need to pray about it. Maybe you need to go to God and say, this guy's really, like, you know, very convicted on this. Am I missing something? Because that's what I done. That's what I done, and God was able to show me and humble me down. And I said, God, I want to be like that. And so now you can move in your own. Like, you're free to move. It's the word over the world from where you are. You're not stuck on me either. You're not dependent upon me. I'm just a point of contact for God to encourage. See what I'm saying? You're free to move. You need to move with God. Be led by the Spirit. Don't be led by your senses. Don't be led by your knowledge of what other people have said. But be led by God, because he's working in you. He's supplying thoughts and ideas to you as well. And he can confirm it by the scriptures too. So there's a balance. And God is the one that brings the balance. Not us, not through rightly dividing, as they say. Because that's not accurate either. It's rightly speaking, rightly proclaiming. So when we understand these simple things, when we get simple as a child in our heart and mind, then all this wonderful spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ begins to unveil in our hearts and minds. And then we start to see a clearer picture. We get the direction. We get the vision. We start to know what to share with people by the Spirit of God. He gives us perfect words. I mean, I've had many one-on-ones this week, and again, everyone has said, this is what I needed. I didn't know what they needed. They may have shared a few things, but then I'm praying to God, give me the words for this person. Because I don't know, but I know you know, and I trust you to give me those words. Because, Father, it's not by my might or nor by my power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. And then so God does give you words. He gives you wonderful words. And if you want diversity of speech, ask him, Father, you know, enlarge my vocabulary. Give me some wonderful ways to highlight your wonderful spiritual truths. Nothing is impossible with God. Here, work with where your faith is. If your faith is in a minister or in a ministry or some old doctrines, that's where you'll be. That's where you're going to be. Ask God to enlarge your vision, enlarge your faith. We should be going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and moving and demonstrating the Spirit of God and in power. You know, we don't come to people with our knowledge, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and in power, where people are being healed, where people are being delivered, where people are getting their answers. People are looking for answers, even believers that we know. But they're stuck because of other people's words or doctrine. We want the sound doctrine. Listen, the sound doctrine is the heavenly words. This is the sound doctrine. And these words will be proved to be true and right and from God, not from Lawrence. Lawrence is the same as anybody else. I got my function and my position within the body of Christ. I know what it is. So I'm very confident now. Whereas before, Kim used to call me meek, meek. You know, like a mouse, meek, 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 meek. Because I would never open my mouth. I was too frightened to speak, too worried about what other people might think about me. But when you get this freedom to speak, you may make some mistakes and it's absolutely fine. As long as you don't stay there, as long as you're humble to change when God shows you, or when someone that is a bit more mature can point and fine-tune you, that's what the connection's for, the one-on-ones. There's fine-tuning going on. You know, when someone might not have our standing on the areas of honouring God fully or speaking in tongues, why are we doing it this way? You know, what about the confession? Why have we got to do that? You haven't got to do anything. It's got to be from your heart. Everything we need to do must come from the heart. God is the heart surgeon and searcher. And he's looking to see where faith is. And faith isn't just knowing scriptures. Faith is a belief that of the words that have been given to you that you're living, doing, and endeavoring to apply in your life. And that as you begin to do that, your understanding just opens up more and more and more. And when that starts to happen, you'll do less and less and less in your own strength. Because you understand it's by the grace of God. He's arranging all these things. He's arranged for you to be on here. He's arranged for you and me to connect up. He's arranged for you to hear these wonderful words. He's arranged these wonderful trips for us to go on and the finances and all the provision. We don't have to worry. God's first. When we keep him first, you do not have to worry about anything. Even if it isn't showing up right now or manifesting right now, my needs will be met. They're already met. My God shall supply all my need according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. My God is my sufficiency in all things. I tell you what, I bet some people could easily think, well, yeah, he's been to him. So why should he go to the pound now? Hope you don't get what he needs. I've already got it. Because my God says I've already got it. And faith says you've already got it. And you watch me. You'll see me there. I'll send you the pictures. I'll send you the testimonies of the wonderful things God's going to do. Because my God is a faithful God. He's faithful. He energizes. He's working. He's faithful to me. And he's faithful to you. And he respects your faith and your obedience to his heart. To have a humble heart to receive the words. And we've done so well. God has done so well for everyone that's connected on here. Yeah, you might have had some rocky patches. Life happens, right? Things happen in this world. We're in it, not of it. That's why we learn to walk on water, right? And that's why we learn to multiply the bread. That's why we learn to heal people. And we just grow in faith. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And God loves you dearly. God is with you. God is for you. He's going ahead and arranged you. Sandgate, bless me, I had a nice one-on-one with him. Just bear with me 1 second. And he was sharing with me that he went on this trip in India. And then the other believers, the other leaders from India were going to Nepal. And they constrained Sangate, like, please come with us, sir. Like, we're going to go up to the mountains, very high elevation. And so Sangate, you know, obviously he spoke with Beatrice and said, you know, they're constraining me to come. Do you mind if I go? And she's like, no, you go and enjoy. And so God just done so many wonderful things, you know, from this trip through the leaders and from Sandgate going as well. And lots of people reconciled back to God that were believers that kind of went off or thought they were off, but they wasn't. And there was just so much reassurance and blessings and many other things. But Sandgate saying, you know, he said, they took care of everything for me. You know, my food, my hotel, and even Suresh, which is a wonderful Nepal believer, which you guys are get to meet that going to Nepal. Suresh, God put in his heart that coming back down from the mountain, they should get a plane. And so he organized a plane for him, Stephen, and Sharma. And so they had a nice 20-minute flight rather than a 5-hour, 6-hour drive. You know, so God was working great grace in the hearts of the believers that were walking by the Spirit, that saw the need, moved with God in it, and then presented the blessing. Okay, well, you're not going to drive, you're going to fly. You know, God put this in my heart to bless you. And then Sangit said they stayed at a few different hotels. He said everything was taken care of for me. He was willing to put his hand in his pocket, but he didn't have to because of the generosity and the love of the believers. And, you know, and seeing Sangit like, I'm not trying to promote Sangate here. I'm promoting God through what God has done by Sangate. And, you know, his faithfulness is being rewarded now greatly. And he's enjoying the fruits of his labor. And I was so happy. Like, it even gets me in my heart now. You know, God really blessed him. And he deserved that, you know. And he didn't ask for it. He was just really, come on, sir, you come with us. And then he's like, okay, I go. And he's so humble and meek. And out of all the years I've known Sangha, I've not heard him once put anyone down. And even when people are brought up in negative circumstances, his words of light are from God, encouraging in the situation. Not once, not one bad word. Kim, have you heard one bad word? I've not heard one bad word. And he's always been encouragement. And that's what he encourages me, Lawrence. Says, Lawrence, just encourage God's people. It doesn't matter if they come and they might be here or there. You just give that love and encouragement. And if you do that with the people that you come in contact with, you'll see people will come to you. You'll see the labors flock to you. You know, because then you're moving in the way God would want you to move, with that love, with that compassion, with that heart. And so we don't, you know, we can discern situations and people. But again, if people are coming, just love them. Encourage them. Give them the best from God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give the very best. And even in your own family life, you know, there's things that tick you off and niggle you. Give them God. Give people God. Give people love. Show them the goodness of God. That's what's going to turn a heart and a person to our wonderful Heavenly Father. And what Jesus Christ done. Look at the example of our wonderful Lord and Savior. My Lord, my Master. Whom God raised from the dead. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, and he served the people. He was serving the people. And then, yeah, he also confronted the religious people. Why? Because these religious people were hindering the purposes of God. That's his Father. If your earthly dad and someone's coming against your earthly dad, you'd be standing up for him, wouldn't you? Even if your dad was wrong or right, but our God's always right. But he stood up for the truth. Because it's the truth that sets people free. Satan wants to put people in bondage through lies, through tradition, through religion. And religion and traditions make none affect the power of God. So when we start walking by the Spirit, you'll start to see the Spirit of God in demonstration and of power. You'll start to see people healed. You'll start to see people delivered. We're going to start to see it happen. This is a preview. This is a prophecy from God. In the very near future, people raised from the dead, deaf ears being opened, blind eyes seeing, and not just a one-off. We're going to see it on a regular basis, guys. So stay with God. You know, stay with God. Don't get tricked out with your emotions, your circumstances, or relationships. Stay with God. If you keep him first, he'll take care of those things. God says, look, just focus on me. I'll take care of your families. I'll take care of this situation. Let me go to work. Let me do the work for you. Why are you working so hard? Chill out, relax, enter into my rest. And let me do it for you. I'm a loving God. I can do this perfectly. Just don't go in there and meddle things up. So anyway, God loves you. God's a healing God. And by the way, someone's being healed as I'm speaking right now, whether you feel it or not, you are. And yes, you. You just thought, is that me? Yes, it's you. And anyway, so we just be bold to declare these things. People can think, oh, he's mad or he's being egotistical. No, someone is just being healed right now. There might be an area within your body that's been need healing, or might be something going on. It's being healed right now. It's recovering right now. So just receive it. Receive. Okay, I take this by faith. I receive it, God. Thank you, it's done. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.